That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Here we go, JV. Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! Hooray! 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 They're gonna beat the Bengals! No!
Will the next person that sees anybody throw anything on this field, point them out, and get them out of here. You don't live in Cleveland!
Fuck you. We like the Bengals. Starts now.
And we're back, baby. Welcome back to Fuck You, We Like the Bengals. I'm your host, Alex Schubert. Lloyd Johnson is still on the IR with a little bit of a hip injury. So sitting in his place, we have kind of a special guest. Introduce yourself to the general populace of the Podverse. There it is.
What's up, man? I'm Jeff Trenopol from Sports with Strawberry Ice. How you doing today, brother?
Doing good. How are you? So I said, how are you? Anyway, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You said you got like a lot of like yard work done and shit like that. And
oh, yeah. I got caught up on a lot of the stuff that I haven't been able to do because it finally stopped raining here in Cincinnati. So I can got my yard mulch, got some plants planted, and I got my Bengal flag posted right in the middle of the front yard. So
it's all yeah, perfect time to do it because, I mean, like it's Jamar Chase time now.
Exactly.
And we'll get to that a little bit.
Exactly.
It's Chase time. I'm here for it. So you started Sports and Strawberry Ice. How long ago did you start that?
About 2 years ago. I just started doing just silly – well, not silly videos, just videos of, like, just Bengals and Bearcats and Red stuff, you know, what they were doing, my thoughts on it, stuff like that, and people started liking it. And I – kept getting doing more and more and more, kept doing it every day, and I finally figured out how I could do it on a podcast. So I broke it off and did it on the podcast. So we went from a YouTube channel and a podcast, and now I do it live every day, Monday through Friday at 5:30 on the YouTube channel Sports with Strawberry Ice, and then I upload it later on the podcast later on that night.
So you have like it's on like all streaming platforms like Spotify, Stitcher,
Spotify, Podbean, Apple iTunes, pretty much wherever you get your podcast.
Same with Fuck You.
Yep.
My co-host abhors baseball, and I don't get much of a chance to talk about it.
Dude, I love baseball.
The ball with the sick game.
I love baseball.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the Reds have been like kind of like, we'll talk about the Reds a little bit because I'm assuming a lot of Bengals fans are Reds fans.
Right.
It's been kind of like a 500 team this year.
Dude, they're frustrating as hell because they got off to such a good start.
I know. They teased us so bad.
Oh, I was so excited. I kept telling everybody, I'm like, we're going to go to the playoffs. I still believe we're going to go to the playoffs. But I'm like, you know, everybody's like, well, this ain't going to last forever. I'm like, I know. I said, but just enjoy it. Enjoy it for what it is. And then, I mean, I'm not kidding. From what in a week, we went from first place to last place. We went out to L.A., California, and lost 7 in a row. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And now it's just like we keep playing peekaboo with the 500. We get right there to 500, and then we lose 2 games against, like, we just lost 2 games to Colorado.
Yeah.
One of the worst teams in baseball. How are we losing to them?
You're a Nolan Arenado-less Colorado Rockies.
Yes, I know. I'm like, oh, it's so frustrating. I mean, you had Wade Miley, who pitched a no-hitter.
I saw that.
Yeah, and it comes back last night in the first – first or second batter he faced, he gives up a triple. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. It's kind of like other teams are like, all right, we got to get to this guy because he's doing no hitter. And he's like a third or fourth starter on the team, and he's just coming off a no hitter. It's like teams are going to get to him.
Yeah, but honestly, he's been the most consistent pitcher we've had on the team, to be honest. I mean, Sonny Gray has been injured. Luis Castillo is not even remotely close to what
he's been kind of dog shit this year.
He's frustrated. The thing is with him, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with his arm because he's throwing at 96, 97 miles an hour.
It's just nothing yet.
Yeah, exactly. He can't get his change up to break or to bite like it used to. That's his money pitch. And if that thing's not fooling the hitters, then they're just sitting on that 90-mile-an-hour fastball and they're drilling it.
No, it's been It's been rough this year with Luis. It's like, I remember the first inning of opening day was just like, what was it, 6 runs?
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting going, what the hell's going on here? Like, come on, dude. You're Luis Castillo. Hello. Come on, pitch like him, please.
It's like, it hasn't yet. Because that was such a good trade the Reds got for him, because they got him in, I believe, the Dan Straley deal.
Yes. Yes, we stole him. Who the hell's Dan Straley?
Dan Straley, who he's fine. He's not anything to write home about. He's trading for Luis Castillo and two other players who I completely forget who they are.
Yeah, me too. I just know we got Luis.
that was a great trade.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I don't even know if Dan Straley is even pitching or playing baseball anymore, to be honest. But, yeah, you got him, and that's the thing that there's three key players that have been hurting the Reds this year. One,
Luis
Castillo.
Eugenio.
Eugenio Suarez. And three, Amir Garrett. I always say Armin. Amir Garrett, sorry. Those three. Now, it looks like Gino might be getting back. Armin is getting close. But Luis is still not pitching like him. And for the Reds to have a shot at going to the playoffs or having a winning season, those three have got to contribute.
And David Bell wants Gino to be old Gino so badly because he keeps putting him in the four hole in the batting order. It's like every time Gino has an even decent game, he's like, all right, you're the cleanup hitter again. You are our guy.
Right. Well, one thing I think Gino kind of – he like in training camp or spring training, he said that he wants to hit – he's going to hit 50 homers this year. At this point, I'm like, dude, just hit the ball. You know, and that's one thing I like about the Reds' offense this year compared to last year. Last year, see, like, everybody was trying to hit a home run.
Yep, it's either you – know? It's all or nothing.
Right, and this year, they're all of them are just hitting the ball. I mean, how many times have we seen the ball hit to the opposite field just to move a guy over?
Oh, yeah, Castellanos has been great at that this year.
Cablastos, that's what I call him. He is phenomenal. But Gino,
I call him a man of faith. That's what I call him.
A man of faith, there you go. Well, Gino, to me, is still trying to do what he did last year. I think he's trying to just kill every single ball he hit.
No, he has like that arc on his swing. It's like, I'm trying to drive the ball over the fence.
Right, right. And that's one thing I know I had Chris Welch on my show a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
And he was saying that he thinks Gino, like, you know, how he loads up too much. He's thinking he's loading up too much and pulling his arms back and it's making his swing longer. And I that's a good point. That's something that Chris said that Gino is working on, trying to shorten his swing up. So if he can get that to come around, because there's been games where he's had three, four hits, and then the next day he does nothing.
Yeah. He just strikes out three times and then just
– right.
And that's what I saw with Jay Bruce a lot.
Yes.
Was Jay Bruce is – I always said Jay Bruce is the streakiest player I've ever seen.
Yes.
Because there were moments like – there were months he was an MVP. And then, like, the next month he could fall off the face of the earth, and it's as if he didn't even exist.
And he got worse. That got worse the older he got. When he was younger,
teams were playing him into the shift more.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, the shift became more prevalent.
Killed his career.
Farther in his career, yeah. But I mean, yeah, when he was hot, he could hit anything. Yeah. But when he was not, you could have rolled the ball.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
He wouldn't have been able to hit it. But I mean, Jay Bruce is
here in the bigs.
Yeah, remember his first week?
That's what I was gonna say. His first week in the bigs.
Yeah,
his first game was against the Pirates. He was like 2-3 for 3. He doubled, and then that whole week he hit like 500. And then that Saturday was a Fox game against the Braves. His first career home run was a walk off homer.
Yes,
I vividly remember that.
I was at this game, but do you remember the 2010 Clinchmas game? I think it was against
I was Astros. On TV that night.
Oh, were you?
I will send you the clip. My mop head was on TV that night. It's the big clip with like a few hundred thousand views. Like, my mop head shows up with a fucking poster and shit.
That's awesome.
I swear to God, it was insane.
Yeah, me and my son were at that game, and he was 10 years old at the time, and me and him were going freaking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that is, because he's like, did this mean that they go to the playoffs? I'm like, yes. I'm like, this is awesome. That's the first time they've been to the playoffs since like
95.
Yeah. So it was a long time.
Well, okay, technically 99 because they had that one game playoff.
The 99, which was another one. Al Leiter shut us down. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. I'm younger. Remember that game.
I was at that game too. I mean, my dad went to that game, but that 2010 run, that started a great run for Cincinnati sports as far as going to the playoffs between the Reds and the Bengals.
Yep.
Neither one of them could win a damn playoff game or a series, but we at least get to it.
Yep, it was fun. Like, I remember, like, when Bruce hit that home run to win the division, the first thing I did, I was sitting in the lower deck. The first thing I did was I sprinted to the dugout. I was 18 and I almost said Yadier Molina. But Yonder Alonso, when he played for the Reds, he's spraying me with champagne. And,
oh, that's awesome.
Oh, it was the best. One of the best nights of my life. And when I wasn't driving at the time, so my mom drove me home. And when I got to the car, people were just like hogging and shouting and celebrating.
Right.
It was one of the best nights of my life.
Everybody's yelling, Clinchmas. Merry Clinchmas. Clinchmas.
That was insane.
That was awesome. It was fun.
That's the only thing people remember Jason Bourgeois for, was being at the wall.
Jason Bourgeois, I like that.
What a name. Back to the wall, Bourgeois. And then Tom Brenneman made that remark 10 years later, and now here we are.
Yep, exactly.
I don't get to talk about this much because, like I said, my co-host hates baseball. That was my favorite meme from this summer, the Tom Brenneman thing.
Yeah.
Did you see much about that, the drive into deep left field?
Oh, yeah. Where he was calling the game and he was apologizing. Yes.
Oh, my God. And the memes about that. There were so many tweets about that.
Yeah.
Someone put that home run call over a clip of, like, MLB The Show.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Someone was playing MLB The Show, and he played things like, MLB The Show has gotten so realistic now. And then he had Castellanos hitting a home run in that game.
That's awesome.
It was so great.
Well, how do you feel about John Sadak? You like him as the new broadcaster? Him and Barry Larkin?
Oh, Larkin's okay. I think Larkin's a little robotic.
Really, I like Larkin a lot. I don't know. You're like second person to tell me that. I'm like, I really like him. I don't know.
Some things he said, I'm like, I mean, I'm not a baseball nerd. Like, I'm not a baseball lifer like Larkin is.
Right.
But, like, I could have thought of that. I like Sadak, though. I do like Sadak.
Sadak's a nut. I think he's a nut, but I enjoy him. I think he brings a lot of fun to the broadcast.
It sucks is, like, I'm not able to watch Bally Sports because I have YouTube TV, so I'm not able to watch Bally Sports like I am.
They got their own app now. The Fox Sports Go app has become the Bally app.
Oh,
now.
Okay.
So you can watch it. Cause I know my son's the same way. He live streams everything. And I said, hey, they got the app now. He's like, oh, good. So I can watch it. So you can watch it there now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to steal my friend's AT&T password. So I'm going to be able to.
I won't tell anybody. It'll be our secret.
Oh, yeah. I'll edit that out. But I'm going to edit in these ads from our sponsors at Take Line and Locker Room.
Ah, thanks, Alex. Our first sponsor of the evening is Take Line. Sports culture takes. Take Line has it all. Take Line is a weekly podcast hosted by Emmy winner Jason Concepcion and former WNBA champ Renee Montgomery. That's a fast-paced exploration of the NBA and world of sports and culture. Each week, Jason and Renee talk about the games, players, controversies, and issues that run both on and off the court. Follow now to hear Take Line every Tuesday wherever you get your pods. And our second sponsor of the day is Locker Room. Locker Room, of course, as we've mentioned before, is a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's free to download and use. You can talk to me, other athletes. You can talk to me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. You can talk to us about the Bengals. We're going to talk about how excited we are for Ja'Marr Chase. The second year of Joe Burrow. How Jesse Bates deserves a fucking extension. He really does. You can even share your own experiences on the app. Because like we said, it's a free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games. When we get iPhones or when it comes out for the Android App Store, you can join in on conversations with me and have a chance to be featured on the Fuck You, We Like the Bengals podcast. We'll be hosting rooms every week whenever this comes out. When it comes out for the Android, we'll let you know. I'll bother Andrew Stevens about it. I know he's not in control of the apps or in control of that app. But we would like it to come out for Android so we can do it. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Fuck You, We Like the Bengals group. Follow us when it comes out for Androids at FUWLT Bengals to be notified when our room goes live. And we will be going live on the Locker Room app when it does. And we're back with Jeff Trenopole from the Sports with Strawberry Ice podcast. We were talking about Cincinnati sports. We talked about the Reds a lot. But this is a Bengals podcast, and this is a big episode because we just had a thing called a draft.
Yes, we did.
And we the Bengals finally settled the Chase versus Sewell debate.
Yep.
Jeff, who did the Bengals pick in the first round?
Well, believe it or not, they picked Penei Sewell. Wait, no, they didn't. No, they picked Ja'Marr freaking Chase in the first
Ja'Marr
round.
Ja'Marr Chase. They got
him. Yeah, baby.
I'm stoked. I was on the Sewell train for a while because of Burrow's I call it PTS knee. But
there's a lot of people like that, and I was Team Chase. Well, put it this way: when they signed Riley Reiff, that's when I'm like, get out here, let's go get Chase. And what I keep arguing with people still to this day,
I'm done arguing.
What are you gonna do with the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett, and all these guys coming after you? I said, okay, well, this is what they're going to do. They're going to spread it out. He's going to take a three-step drop. And I said, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, one of them is going to beat you guys, and we're going to pass it before you even get to Joe Burrow. I said, that's how they're going to beat you. I said, that's why we can get away with not having Penei Sewell. But the thing is, Jackson Carman, I think, is going to be a really good guard for us. And
yeah.
The trade back, in my mind, it was
critical.
Huge. Yes, the players that they added. I mean, it allowed us. I'll go this way. It allowed us to draft a kicker in the fifth round. If you don't make that trade, you're not drafting a kicker in the fifth round.
Oh no! And he was going to be only a weapon. Kicker drafted.
Yes, and he was the best kicker. So he's going to be a
video of him kicking the bottle.
Yes, the bottle cap off. Yes.
Oh my god! I showed it to my friend Billy, and I'm like. I saw like him kicking the bottle cap and the bottle, and I'm like, this is much better than you're going to realize. He's like, oh, I'm just going to kick the bottle over. But no, he's going to unscrew the cap. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had to watch it the first time. Later. Yeah, the first time I watched it, I'm going, I said, what? I said, well, the bottle didn't move. And then I watched it again, and I go, I kind of zoom in a little bit. I'm like, oh, the bottle cap came off. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that the first time.
That's insane.
That's ridiculous. He said it took him like 30 times to do it, but I'm like, I don't care. You still did it. That's awesome.
Because I like to do full court shots just for fun. Sometimes it's like you get closer and closer the more you try.
Right.
Because you're like getting into a rhythm like, oh, I'm getting closer. This is how much I have to throw.
Right.
Or how much I have to kick.
Who is it? The dudes that do the trick shot all the time.
You're perfect.
Yeah, dude, perfect.
I love those guys.
Yeah, they don't do them on the first try every time.
I watch their videos all the time. But there was one, he did the world's longest blindfolded shot.
Yeah.
You know, some like 60 feet, 65 or so feet. He made it on the first try.
Nice. Well, the thing is, too, those guys do that all the time.
So. Yeah. Oh, they're pros.
Right, exactly. But getting back to the draft, the other guy that I'm really excited as far as the fourth round guys that we got is me and my co-host Jeremy D. We're calling him Bayou Big Daddy.
Oh, Shelvin.
Yes, he was rated, if he would have came out in 2019, a second round pick. We got him in the fourth.
Can I call him Geno Fatkins?
There you go. That's the thing. He's got to keep his weight under control. That has been an issue. But as long as he does that, have you seen some of the clips of him just destroying people?
He's a run stuffer.
Yes. He's a run stuffer that can get to the quarterback too.
That decreases the workload for the linebackers occasionally. And that's huge.
Yes.
Yes. So let's go pick by pick. Let's do this. First pick, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. I like it a lot.
Love it. I absolutely love it.
I mean, like I said, I wanted Sewell, but I completely 100% am on board with Chase. He's my guy now, and I like the pick a lot because, like, he's basically replacing A.J. Green.
Yes, but he can actually be A.J. Green of 3 years ago, and not the A.J. Green we've seen the last 3 years. I mean, nothing against A.J. I love A.J. to death. He's one of my favorite
players. What he's done for the Bengals franchise?
Yes.
Is it too much to say he might be the best receiver in Bengals history?
Ooh. No, it wouldn't be strange. I mean, I always have a hard time with this because you got Isaac Curtis. And if he could have played now, he could have been up there with the records that Chad had and AJ had and all that stuff, but with the way they pass protected or let them defend passers or receive, I get it right, defend receivers in the 70s and early 80s, it was really hard to get open. They could basically mug you halfway down the field. And yeah, Isaac Curtis was still a great wide receiver. So, but as far as the stats go, I mean, you got to look, it's either AJ or Chad. I mean, as far as stats go, those are the two best stat wise. But I mean, Carl Pickens, he wasn't bad at all. He's played on terrible teams and nobody really liked him, but he was a good wide receiver too. But in my mind, yes.
Didn't people create like the Pickens clause or something like that? I looked in like the Pickens clause that like
that sounds familiar. Yeah,
he said like you can't talk shit about the Bengals.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't remember.
They put it into his contract or something.
That rings a bell, the Pickens clause, but I don't remember. Yeah, he couldn't say anything bad about the Bengals. I think that's what it was.
Because those teams back then were just like the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm too young to remember them. They were atrocious.
Yes. I trust me, I'm old enough to remember each and every single one of them. I was watching them. Yeah. The thing that drove you nuts about them is they had great players. I mean, it wasn't like they had that whole – everybody on the team was
– Oh, Corey Dillon was a monster.
Yeah, Corey Dillon. You had Jeff Blake. You had
Takiyo Spikes.
Takiyo Spikes. You had, like I said, Carl Pickens. You had Darnay Scott. People forget about Tony McGee. He was a really good tight end for us. I mean, they had Willie Anderson.
High draft picks.
Big Daddy is more of a bust, but Willie Anderson was drafted in 96. So that's when he started his Hall of Fame career. So I mean, they had good players. It's just they never had it all together, you know.
Yeah.
We never really, until Corey Dillon got here, we never really had a running game. And never really had an offensive line to speak of until they started with Willie Anderson.
After Munoz, basically.
Yeah, and that was one of the biggest problems with the teams in the 90s. Even with Jeff Blake on there, he's running for his life, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an
excellent quarterback if he had a line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he threw one of the best deep balls in NFL history. Dude, if you watch any film – from Jeff Blake back in the 90s, he'll throw a deep ball. The ball will go out of the screen and drop right into the receiver's
That's what hands. Russell Wilson's deep ball does.
Yes. Yep. It's very similar.
I think Russell Wilson has the best deep ball right now.
Yeah. As far as the trajectory and everything, the way it drops into him, and they hit him around stride. That's the thing. They don't have to wait for it. They don't, you know, they have to slow down. It's right in stride, right in the shoulder, bang.
And Russell Wilson throws it to where the DB can't catch it because he's throwing it high and just making sure that, like, Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf can just, like, shoulder it.
That's just the same way Jeff Blake's was, the exact same ball.
And I saw a headline after Chase got drafted, and this didn't occur to me until, like, after he got drafted. Chase basically fixes Burrow's one weakness from last year was his deep ball. And I was talking to Malik Wright about this. I hate calling Chase a deep threat.
Right.
That
kind of minimizes what he does. He's more than just deep threat. I mean, he can catch it anywhere.
Like, that's what I see Julio Jones as. Like, Julio Jones is a deep threat, but he can also catch it anywhere on the field.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing is it's funny you say Julio Jones. A lot of people have compared Jamar Chase to Julio Jones.
I think Jones is taller.
Yes. That's the one hiccup or whatever people get on Chase about. He's not that tall, but dude, if you go up and get the ball, it doesn't matter how tall you are.
Yeah, because Chase, his thing was contested catches. That's one thing he like really thrived in. Mm-hmm. And my comparison for Chase was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins, like Hopkins, can catch anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best receiver in the NFL of the last 5 years.
Yeah, and that's the company that that Jamar Chase is already in. And we get to watch him every Sunday. Like right now, I don't know about you. He did an interview yesterday, and he said that they asked him how he felt about Cincinnati. Or you know, he goes, "Well, it's what do you say? Bigger is different than what he thought it was." And somebody asked him, "Well, what do you mean it's different?" He goes, "Well, I thought it was just gonna be a bunch of land." You know, I guess he didn't think we had a downtown or anything. So he's actually, I guess today, riding around on a scooter in downtown Cincinnati in a disguise.
No,
and I would love to find out what that disguise is. Like, hey, Jamar, what's going on? But
it's like he's a man in a disguise. Is that not suspicious at all?
Well, depends on what the disguise looks like. Maybe it's a really good prosthetic nose or something, or maybe he's got sunglasses on, or maybe he's got a wig on, a long, real long hair. Who knows what he's got?
So do you think I would think that Burrow would have kept him in the loop?
Yeah, you would think so. Well, I mean, because Burrow has talked about well, I'll put it this way: Burrow talked about Athens.
Oh,
so
yeah.
maybe Jamar thought Cincinnati was like Athens, and Athens is a smaller town. So maybe that's what he was comparing it to from what Joe told him. Just thinking out loud here.
No, you're totally – I mean, that's what we do here. We're just talking about, honestly, what Jamar thinks of Cincinnati. And one of the best summations I've heard of Cincinnati – I'm going to make this an Instagram caption someday. He's some guy – I talk about why your team sucks. It's a column that Drew McGarry does. He's a writer for Defector. He used to be on Deadspin all the time. Have you ever read it?
No, but I've heard of it, though.
It's just a roast of every NFL team. And the best summation of Cincinnati I've ever heard, and the funniest one, he said – downtown Cincinnati 15 years ago was full of hobos and piss. But they revamped it and they revitalized it. And now it's full of trendy restaurants and bars and hobos and piss.
Exactly. Well,
like, that's the most perfect thing I've ever heard.
The coolest part for me, I love going down by the banks.
Oh,
the
it's banks, perfect.
That play down there, what they've done with that, because I remember when they blew the stadium up, you know, they built the two new stadiums, blew up Riverfront. And then, like, for years, all we had was a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And they're like, and they kept saying, we're going to put a park here. I'm like, I thought they were going to put a park over the whole thing. I'm like, no, put some bars and restaurants and stuff like that. Well, that's what they did. They put bars, restaurants, and a park. And it's freaking awesome down there.
Yeah, it's perfect. So I'm too young to remember. Like, I remember Synergy Field, like, vaguely.
Uh-huh.
But what was around Synergy Field when it was there? Was it, like, just empty land or parking lots? Yeah.
Not a whole lot. I mean, the Coliseum was next to it, which, I mean, Heritage Bank Arena, I guess that's what they call it now. That was next to it, obviously. And then they had Caddy's was down there. That was about the only bar. They had a couple other little bars, but it was mostly businesses down there. And they call it the Flats. It was
– okay.
They would move in and out of shipping. It was semi-trucks and stuff like that was down there. It was – because what I would do – when me and my dad would go to games when I was younger, is we'd actually – you know where the Bengals practice field is right now, right?
Should be indoors.
Right. Well, the outdoor one. But, yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's a bridge right there. And there used to be a bar. And I don't remember the name of it. But there used to be a bar right there on that street. And we'd park on that street for free. And we'd walk straight through where the practice facility, where the stadium is, straight through that. And we'd walk to the stadium. So that's what was there. It was a bunch of just businesses and stuff that you could just walk through. Now it's got stadium, everything there.
It's the stadium, all the bars. There's the Freedom Center down there.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati is a much cooler city than like people realize.
Yeah, I wish they get the Ferris wheel back. That was a cool thing.
I didn't even notice that they took that down.
Yeah, well, I heard that they, because it's not, it wasn't a, it was always a temporary thing. And then I heard that the city was getting, going to get their own one. But then COVID hit and everything, and I haven't heard anything if they're getting one now or not. But that was the plan to get their own. So I hope that that does happen and they bring that back. And that was just a cool thing, especially if you're in Kentucky coming through the cut of the hill and they had the city lit up and the Ferris wheel lit up and everything. It's just cool as hell.
Oh, it was so cool. And like, it's downtown Cincinnati. It's like, it's got that, I mean, I'm biased when I say this. The skyline's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's especially, well, the cool thing, especially from where the places you can see it from, especially if you look out from Kentucky or if you go over on my side of town here, Manuka Park, and look down the river that way. And then you got, what's the other hill there?
7175.
I can't
think. To me, that's the best view of the skyline of downtown Cincinnati is driving down 7175.
Yes.
That's the best view of downtown.
Another good view is Mount Adams. Go look out.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's what I was trying to think of.
That area kind of died a little bit.
Yeah. It used to be a thriving area. A lot of people, a lot of clubs and restaurants and up there, and it's not as much anymore. I don't know what's
going on. It was like, originally, it was like 3-4 years ago.
Well, I think the banks has a lot to do with that. I think everybody's going there. Well, you got the banks, and then you got OTR. A lot of people are going down there, too. So,
the banks and OTR have been there the whole time.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's only so many spots, and there's only so many people. So,
yes.
That's, you know, things come and go. I mean, you can look over at Newport, and when that first opened, the Newport and the Levee, that was rocking. And
yeah.
There's not a lot of people going over there right now either, so.
Yeah, there used to be a comedy club over there. They used to perform at every now and then, and now they're just like redoing it.
Yeah,
what they're putting there?
They as far as last time I was there, they had the movie theater. That's about it.
I used to work at the Dewey's over there, and I think they just completely took that out too.
Yeah, that's gone too. I mean, there's more stuff like outside by the aquarium. If you walk outside, they have stuff there. But when you go inside, where the movie theater and where the comedy club. Awesome. This last time I was there, there wasn't a whole lot there.
Yeah, there's not. But there is, a lot on our offensive line now, thank God. Yes. We got a couple new players. Yes. Starting with our second round pick. Like we signed that Riley Reiff. We talked about that a little bit before. But our second round pick, thankfully we traded back for him. Yes. Jackson Carman, a little hometown boy out of, I believe, Fairfield High School.
Yep, out of Fairfield High School. My uncle actually lives out that way, and I was over at his house last weekend, and he was talking about how he saw Carman play in high school. He saw him. He goes, he knew that kid was going to go at least D1.
Yeah.
He goes,
and he became Trevor Lawrence's blind side.
Right. So he's going from defending or protecting the number one pick this year to protecting the number one pick last year. So that's pretty good
cool
right there.
Story. I mean, granted, he's playing guard, but guard was a huge hole.
Yes. Well, that was the biggest problem. I mean, I know everybody got Bobby Hart, which thank God he's not here anymore. But it's the biggest problem was the offensive line. I'm sorry?
Addition by subtraction.
Yes, exactly. But the biggest problem with the offensive line was the guard play. And if you remember last year when they finally put Spain and they finally put Serafilia got hurt, you know, the first game of the year last year. When they had those two at guard, that's when our running games started getting better. Those two were at guard when we beat the Squealers last year on Monday night.
And you didn't even need Mixon to do that because you had, like, Samaje Perine and Travion Williams.
Yep.
You didn't even need your fucking $48 million running back.
Yep. Well, just think how much fun it is going to be watching him now with an actual offensive line.
For the love of God, stay healthy.
Yes. I am so excited to watch him make his first cut beyond the line of scrimmage and not have to – avoid somebody in a backfield. That would be nice.
Yes, because like he kind of was like the Le'Veon Bell kind of runner, where he's like he can catch it out of the backfield and he would just dance his way to maybe like a 5-yard gain.
Yeah,
but he was that kind of guy, and you can hope like with Frank Pollock coming back and Spain and Carman and Williams, Hopkins, and Riley Reiff.
Mm-hmm.
He could, if they stay healthy, that is the key. That is 150% the key. If they stay healthy and if Mixon stays healthy, oh my God.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is health is always a key. And you can't – well, I'm not saying it won't happen, but they had so many injuries last year. It was ridiculous. And
it seems like every year that happens.
But to me, it's like every couple years that happens. And the years – it can't happen back-to-back, can it? At least I'm hoping not. As many as we had last year – yeah, exactly, cross your fingers. As many as we had last year, we can't have that many guys injured this year. I mean, I guess we could, but let's – knock on wood and hope that doesn't happen. And if it doesn't happen, we got a very good shot of having a very fun year. But like you said, we got Carmen Jackson. We picked up go in the offensive line. We picked up Deontay Smith. That's another kid that got in the draft.
East Carolina.
Yes. And I honestly, dude, I would not be surprised in a year or two if he's our starting right tackle.
So looking at the article on Bengals Wire, it says his strength is versatility. Like, he can play – he took reps at both tackle spots and at guard. So, basically, if he doesn't work out at right tackle, if we keep Riley Reiff for a couple of years and maybe Spain doesn't work out, plug in Deontay Smith at right – or at left guard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could also put Jackson Carmen out there at tackle and put Deontay Smith at guard. I mean, the thing about the guys they got, they're all versatile.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do you know if Carmen – do you know if Jackson Carmen is playing left or right guard? Do you know that yet?
I don't know that. I'm not sure. I just know he's playing guard.
Yep.
I don't know which side yet.
I'll take it. Because I forget who I was talking to about this. What team, like with Sewell, like if you put a high pick on Sewell, who knows how much it could fix, because teams aren't going after. They're not going to try and go around Sewell. They're going to attack your least effective offensive lineman.
Exactly. So somebody said that. I can't remember. I heard it on one of the national radio broadcasts or something. And actually, I think it might have been Lewis Riddick. He goes, "There."
That might have. Yeah, it might have been Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, he said you don't need five Penel Sewells. You just need five really good guys that are all really good together, and there's no weak spots. That's how you get a really good to great offensive line.
It seems like weak spots.
Yes, and I'll put it to you this way. And I'm going back probably before farther back than you can remember. But in 1988, when they went to that Super Bowl, they had one guy on that offensive line was the number one pick, and that was Anthony Munoz. The rest of them were second, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks.
Granted, Munoz was a Hall of Famer.
Granted, yeah. But, I mean, but the other guys – and if you look at the draft picks that the Bengals have on the offensive line this year, if Billy Price – is your starting center if Hopkins isn't ready. You've got three first-round picks that are starting for you. You got Jonah Williams, Billy Price, and Riley Reiff. Those are three first-round picks.
Yes, but a first-round pick only has so much meaning, though. Like
that's my point. Right. That's exactly my point. Just because you're a first-round pick doesn't mean you're going to be great. You know, you could be a fifth-round pick and you're great.
Like for example, Richard Sherman looking to go to the Hall of Fame. He was a fifth-round pick.
Yep.
But, again, like, because people say a first-round pick, they're like, oh, he's a first-round pick. He's a first-round talent. I was completely against the Bengals signing Isaiah Wilson. When he got released from, like, people were saying, like, the Titans are looking to trade him. I'm like, the Bengals should get him. I'm like, if you're a first-round pick who a team gives up on after only one year.
Yeah, no.
Huge red flag.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was having problems showing up to meetings and learning what he's supposed to do. I mean, basic stuff.
Oh, just like basic, like show up to work.
Right, exactly. If you're just trying to get, you know, work in the regular world, you might want to show up to work on time. That usually helps.
Yes. And they went to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins were like, we can't deal with this guy.
Right. Well, and that's what I like, that the Bengals didn't get him. Because how many times during the Marvin Lewis era did we get guys like that? And they became distractions off the field and stuff like that. That's one thing about the guys that we have right now. Most of the guys that they drafted have been captains. Most of them are
– like six guys last year they drafted were captains?
Yes, yes. I think you're right. First six rounds, I think all six of them were captains, if I remember right. But none of these guys are look-at-me guys. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase isn't a look-at-me guy. I mean, he's confident, you know. Yeah. He came out and said, you know
– I'm going to break every single record.
Right. And that's not – to me, he didn't say it like cockiness. He didn't say it like that. He just said confidently. He wants to be the best wide receiver that he can be, and he wants to be the best one in Bengals history. And if he breaks all the records, he's going to be. So those are just goals for him. So it's there's a difference between confidence and cockiness. And I think he's more confident than cocky. And that's the same way with Joe Burrow. He's not cocky. He's extremely confident, and he knows what he's doing, and he knows what it takes to get to where he wants to go.
Burrow has scary silent confidence.
Yes, yes.
Because I was listening to Burrow did a podcast with Collinsworth not too long ago.
Yes, yep.
He was just like – he was talking about how I think he was, like, destroyed in the Eagles game or something like that. The team's, like, kind of, like, tackling him. And he's like, someday I'm going to be, like, a top quarterback.
Someday I'm going to be the GOAT. I'll get that call is what he said.
Yeah. No, it's like – he's like – he's not like Chad, like gloaty about it, but he's like, I'm going to fuck you up when I get good.
That's Jackpot Joe, baby.
So I'm normally against like making the super sexy pick when there's like a bigger need. I was horny for Burrow when he came. I was so pro Burrow. I'm like, this is it. This is our golden opportunity.
Right, right.
Like, to me, Burrow is the difference between the Cincinnati Bengals and the St. Louis Bengals.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you my story about Burrow. Now, I wasn't a huge Andy Dalton fan. I mean, I liked him. I thought he was good.
That's how most people should feel about Andy Dalton.
Yeah. But I was never like, oh, my God, we have to get in our quarterback. Because my question was, who? You know, because we're going to the playoffs. We're drafting later.
Let me get a little – that was exactly my – that's exactly how I felt about Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I felt. If not Marvin, who?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that I kind of felt the same way with Marvin, too, during that run. I'm like, who are we going to get? And that was – getting back to Andy, that's what I kept saying. I was like, all right, well, some people are like, oh, we got A.J. McCarron now. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, A.J. McCarron is not better than Andy Dalton. I'm like, he's not.
He's a backup. He's a decent backup, but he's not – a starter.
No, and that's why since he's left, he hasn't started for anybody. So, I mean, all those people – I had people at my work going, Andy Dalton's days are numbered. A.J. McCarron's here. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, did you watch him play in Alabama? And this is before Alabama was the fun and gun that they are now. They were running the ball back then.
Who were their wide receivers back then?
I couldn't even tell you.
Julio Jones and then – some other guys. And they've had good receivers since then, but it's
– yeah, but that was more when they had the running backs, like Derrick Henry and
Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson and the guys like that. They were more of a running game.
Let's look this up.
So while you're looking that up, I'll tell my story about how I pretty much fell in love with Jackpot Joe Burrow. So I was watching it was 2019. They have the Week Zero game, they called it. It was Texas versus LSU. And I had heard of Joe Burrow.
Yeah,
I knew he was from Ohio, and he transferred from Ohio State. So I'm watching the game, and the more and more I watch, I'm like, wow, this kid's good. You know, like I remember thinking this, like, wow, I think LSU finally has themselves a quarterback because they would always have the talent, but never have a quarterback.
Yep.
So this is like I said, beginning of the year is Zach Taylor's first year. Had no clue how good or bad the Bengals were going to be. Go to about the middle of the year when Jackpot Joe is killing it. LSU is killing it. And the Bengals are tanking. They're terrible. I watch the LSU Alabama game. I watch Jackpot Joe destroy them. And I go, we need to draft him. We have a chance to. I said, I want to lose the rest of the games. And I hate saying that about my Bengals. I want to lose the rest of our games to get Jackpot Joe Burrow. That's a guy that can win you games. That's the difference between if Joe Burrow was on those five straight playoff games, we would have won a playoff game because Andy Dalton couldn't win you a playoff game, but he could get you there. He couldn't win it by himself. Joe could win it by himself.
Yeah. And now he's got the receiver core to do, which, by the way, I looked it up. The only name of note that I saw was Amari Cooper.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Alabama had a ton of wide receivers and AJ McCarron didn't throw the ball a ton back then. I mean, they ran it. That's why I couldn't believe
Derrick Henry, or I don't even think Henry was there back then. It was like Trent Richardson.
I think it was Trent Richardson, to be honest.
He was third pick 2012, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he got picked by the Browns, and then they traded him to the Colts.
Or no, it was
the opposite way?
Was it 12 or 13? I think it was 12.
I think it was 12, but I don't. I'm going by just top of my head. I don't remember, to be honest. But I think it was 12.
I have the list right here. Oh boy. I think it's 2012. Where are you, motherfucker?
Well, that was the thing. That was where Trent Richardson, they showed when he went to the Colts.
2012. Yep.
He couldn't even find the hole in the NFL. Holes were so, the offensive line was so dominant at Alabama, it was easy for him to find. The NFL, it wasn't as easy for him to find the holes, and he just never panned out in the NFL.
That's what a lot of that's how I feel about a lot of quarterbacks, especially at Alabama. That's how I feel about Mac Jones.
Because I'm with you on that one. Yep.
Because he had Devontae Smith, he had a Heisman Trophy winner, wide receiver. How often does that happen?
Right.
He had who's the other? Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, yep.
You were being protected by Alex Leatherwood, which I had a huge gut feeling he wouldn't be available at 38.
Oh, dude, I was hoping he was going to be in the second round. I had him in my second round. I couldn't believe he went 14th to the Raiders. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Okay.
I knew the whole time, because literally all it takes is that one team to make that one call. And you see the guys are like, he's the Outland Trophy winner. He played for a national championship winning team. He was Mac Jones's blind side. So a team's going to see that and basically make that call. The Raiders are notoriously dog shit at drafting.
Right.
They're terrible at it. And I don't think – I'm not – this isn't a knock on Alex Leatherwood. He was not a first-round pick.
No, I think – well, especially not at 14. I mean, I thought he might have been a late first-round pick. Definitely a second-round pick.
Yes. He was a second-round pick. He would have been a fine second-round pick. I just didn't see it happening.
So I keep saying 14. Was he at 17? I keep
17.
17. That 17 pick. Sorry.
14, but yeah. I think, was Vera Tucker. He went to the Jets.
There you go. There you go.
All right. I got to go back to who the Bengals selected, because we haven't even gotten to, like, the other guys. We haven't even gotten to Joseph Osai. We haven't even gotten to we got Shelvin a little bit.
We got Shelvin a little bit. By you, Big Daddy. Let's get to Osai.
Yes. Okay.
Let's look.
He was a name I saw on a lot of mocks.
He was another one that was a second round grade.
Yeah.
We have a third. I mean, the Bengals potentially have three starters on this team out of this draft. Osai, the kicker. I always forget his name.
Evan McPherson,
and Carmen Jackson. I mean, those are three starters right there.
Four
starters. Sorry.
Yeah.
And Jamar Chase. Yeah. Forget about that guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who we only invested a fifth overall pick in.
Yeah, no, he's no big deal. Yeah, we'll just scratch him by him.
Yeah. But the thing with Osai I'm looking at, he has, like, a lot of upside. And I love that in a player. He's got room to grow. And because it says he went from playing off-ball linebacker in coverage to rushing the passer in later years and looked borderline elite in all facets. Especially the Big 12. That's huge. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was saying he reminds me a lot of the guy – why can't I hate when I do that. I can't think of people's names. The guy we just let go in free agency.
Carl Lawson.
Yes, I think he has a lot. His body and the way he plays is a lot like Carl Lawson.
So basically, Trey Hendrickson wasn't the Carl Lawson replacement. Joseph Osai was.
Yes. And that's the thing that gets me excited about our pass rush. You got Hendrickson. You got Lawson or Osai. You got
Hubbard.
You've got Sample, the kid we got out of LSU. He can play inside and outside.
Was he a Tulane
guy? Yes, Tulane. I know I'm right on that one. He was drafted out of Tulane. And he can play inside and outside. So I think our long as Lou Armadillo, and that's what I keep calling him, and I will call him that until he does better on our defense, because I don't like his defensive schemes that much. But I think we got a shot to really get pressure on the quarterback this year with these guys.
Yeah, and the AFC North is a division where you have Myles Garrett on the Browns. You have TJ Watt on the Steelers. It's a division where you got to pressure the quarterback.
Exactly. And, well, the thing is, the key and to me, anyway, to beating the Clowns and the Ratbirds is you got to stop the run.
Yep.
And that is Bayou Big Daddy. That is DJ Reader. That is Mike Daniels. That is Ogunjobi. All these guys that hopefully, if they're freaking healthy, we can stop the run. And we stop the run.
Deep defensive line.
Yes, yes. And if we get – I keep hoping this happens. If they re-sign Geno Atkins, which there's still a chance that maybe they can. I wouldn't – I mean, he's not the old – the Geno of old. But no. Still, if he can
he's
put
just
it
– Geno.
Yeah, if he could be in there and play and you know, give you, you know, 10, 15 snaps a game, I'll take it.
Have him provide – and I this sounds like a cliche. Have him be a mentor to, like, Shelvin or Ogunjobi or
– yep.
I think him and Ogunjobi were like kind of buddies when Ogunjobi played for the Browns.
Yeah, him and Ogunjobi, they work out together. And actually, Ogunjobi said that Geno is his mentor, basically.
Yeah, that, it rules because like I've noticed this like NFL fans like kind of like squander at each other and just like butt heads and like your team sucks and your team sucks, right. But NFL players like even like rivals are like really good friends.
Yeah.
I love to see that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. That's a new age of sports in general. They're all you know, handshaking and dapping up and everything before the game. Back in the old days, they wouldn't even look at each other. But now they're hanging out.
Each other.
Right. But now, I mean, one thing is they got the same agents. They work out together. They, you know, they do a lot of stuff. They do commercials together. So it's completely different. But yes. It doesn't change the fact they want to kick each other's ass when you get on the field.
It's the competitive nature of football.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's get to first of all, let's get to our other sponsors. We have a couple sponsors, Bet Online and Kansas City Stakes. Schubert, tell us about them. I will. This week has tons of sports action as the MLB, NBA, and NHL are in full swing. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sports news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And how about one of our newest sponsors, our friends at Kansas City Stakes? You work hard and play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American-style Kobe, hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it so easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash frozen and delivered directly to your home, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon. Holy shit, that sounds good. Kansas City strips, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your house this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with the code SD at checkout. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. KansasCitySteaks.com, code SD. All right, we are back, like I said, with Jeff Trenipal of Sports with Strawberry Ice. We got a few more draft picks to talk about. We got a couple later round guys that, like, honestly look really good, and they look like late round steals, don't we, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, you got the kid, the last one they picked up from, is it Hubbard? I think he's from Kansas.
Cuba Hubbard. Or
yeah.
No, he was
not Kansas. It was Kansas State, wasn't it?
No, it was Chris Evans from Michigan.
Oh, Chris Evans, yes. Well, I was talking about the linebacker.
Wyatt Hubbard,
yes. Wyatt Hubbard and Chris Evans, Captain America. I think he, honestly, could be the steal of the draft.
Yeah.
Because the good thing for the Bengals –
He's a
Geo replacement with a lot of tread left on the tires because he didn't play a whole lot at Michigan.
Yeah, wasn't he suspended from Michigan?
Yeah, he had academic problems. He got suspended. But you got to, like – if you listen to the story of what he did while he was suspended, he worked like three jobs. And I think he had to pay for his own college for that semester or two semesters or whatever it was. Work three jobs, go to school, and get himself back together, get himself right. And he took all that on and got himself back on the team. Now, like I said, he didn't play as much. But like I said, that's good for the Bengals because a lot of college running backs come out and they are beat up.
Yeah. You
know, just from college, if they're really good.
Trent Richardson, I think, might be an example. It's like you put up insane stats, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm in the NFL where I ran my ass off in college, and now I'm in the NFL. Not only am I supposed to run a lot, I'm supposed to be the three down back. And now players are like, they're bigger, they're stronger, there's more conditioning.
Exactly. And the cool thing about Chris Evans, like you say, he's a geo replacement. You can put him out of the backfield, bubble screen, you can split him out wide.
Yeah.
So, and I was talking to, I think it was Anthony Cazenza from Orange and Black Insider Podcast. And I was asking him, I said, do you think that since they released Geo, that they would draft another running back? And he's like, I don't really see that. But then when they got Chris Evans, like I said, Captain America, that's what I'm calling him.
Yep.
He's a replacement. He's Geo 2.0. I mean, if you look at the draft, they basically hit every single need that they had. So, and I've said this on my show, I think with this draft and the free agents that the Bengals have signed, this is the deepest team that Zach Taylor has had in 3 years. It's the first time he actually has depth.
Yeah. At
pretty much all positions, except for maybe linebacker and tight end. That's about the only two I can think of. But everybody else, they're pretty deep.
I'm okay with their tight end situation right now. I'm not nearly as hyped on Thaddeus Moss as a lot of people are.
See, I am. I don't know why. I got a feeling, not that he's going to be an all pro or anything like that, but I just have a feeling that he's going to be better than people think he's going to be.
I hope. I hope he's better. I'm just like, it's the familiarity with LSU. It's the fact that he's related to Randy Moss. It's the fact that he played with Joe Burrow. It's like, other than that, he doesn't really have a whole lot of selling points to me.
Well, I'll put it this way. I can't stand the SEC. I'm a University of Cincinnati Bearcat fan. Okay. So, but I respect the hell out of the SEC.
I'll say something when you're done, but go on.
When you can do what Thaddeus did in the SEC, I know he's on one of the greatest offenses ever, but he was still beating people and he was still getting open a lot. That, to me, some part of that has got to translate to the NFL, especially when you have the same quarterback and you have damn near the same offensive system that you ran in college. The Bengals are almost running the same one. So that's why I think this is the perfect fit for him. I think he's going to do something, but we'll see. Maybe we'll see. Who knows?
I mean, the football team, I mean, it's such a trash organization. Like, Ron Rivera has been such a godsend to that organization.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the Washington football team, yeah.
Yes. But
they still, I guess they're just going to go with the football team. They're not going to have an actual name.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I thought they'd go with the Pigskins or something. I don't know. Something other than the football team. Like, okay.
I think some guy bought a lot of made a lot of trademarks so the Washington football team couldn't do anything. They couldn't go with the Bravehearts, or they couldn't go with the anything else. They just had to pick some random thing.
That sounds about right. Well, I mean, when you say the football team, it sounds like a soccer team because, you know, those teams are always like, we have FC Cincinnati. And the
I teams hardly over, follow them.
I'm trying to because it is a Cincinnati team, but I'm not a soccer guy at all. But when you say the football team, that's what the, you know, teams over in Europe or the soccer teams, they're all football teams. So were you going to ask me something about UC, you said?
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. So – the Browns were picking literally one pick before the Bengals.
Yes.
And they selected James Hudson, the tackle from Cincinnati.
Yep.
I was like, please God, let him be available in the next pick.
Yeah.
Do you think the Bengals would have drafted him if he was available with that pick?
Okay, now help me refresh my memory. Who did they draft instead of? Do you know that? Because I can't think of it right now.
The Browns had the pick before the Bengals.
Right.
And they drafted James Hudson, and then they drafted Cameron Sample.
So, I think I definitely think he was in the mix for them. I really do. And I was hoping they drafted him. Because I'll tell you, the fourth round – for the Bengals went by so fast, I can't remember who they picked, when they picked him and all that stuff. But, yes, if he was still there.
Deontay Smith, No, it was a Sample, Shelvin, and Smith.
And Smith, okay. But, yeah, if just get back to your question. Yeah, if he was there and the Browns didn't take him, yes, I wholeheartedly believe that they would have taken him. Because they, I mean, I don't want to say this has a lot or anything to do with the Carmen Jackson, them drafting Carmen Jackson, but he's from Cincinnati.
Yeah, he is.
I'm sure that had something to do with it. And if this kid played for the University of Cincinnati, you know they've watched him. So they should have the best tape on him. He's right in their backyard. So
yeah,
they should know him better than anybody.
Literally up the hill.
Right, exactly. So, yes, I think if he was there, they would have taken him. And I was hoping, like you were, I was hoping they would take him, but the stupid clowns beat us to him.
By one pick, too. That sucks, but
yep,
again, that's they draft. Got three guys. They got three guys for the line. They got Trey Hill. We haven't even talked about Trey Hill yet. Another SEC guy.
Yep.
I mean, I hate saying the SEC as a selling point, but.
Yeah, I do. I'm not an SEC fan. I can't stand them, but.
Can I give you my take on that?
Go ahead. What's up?
I think, especially when grading Alabama players, it's hard to grade the SEC. It's like, oh my God, it's the SEC. It's the best competition. Especially when talking about Alabama and with Leatherwood.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC is so top heavy.
Yes.
Because when you think about, like, the top teams, obviously fantastic. Alabama, Georgia, Florida. But the rest of the SEC is like Kentucky and Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yep.
Last year's LSU team and just Tennessee and just teams that are super mediocre.
Well, I'll point to you this one. The reason when I talk about the SEC guys that I like, they're mostly the ones that are ones that I've seen play in big games. So, yes. Like Leatherwood, I liked him. He played good and he played great in big games against LSU and against Florida and all these guys. Jackpot Joe played great in all the games there. Chase, that's when, to me, when you have LSU and when Auburn's good and Alabama and all these teams are good, you have multiple NFL players on those teams playing against each other. So those are the games that I really like watching, especially if I think the Bengals have a chance of drafting anybody on there. And that's – if they show up in those games, then that's going to translate to the NFL.
Yeah.
But, yes, I do think the whole conference in general is a little overrated, to be honest.
It's hugely overrated. I'd say it's – I don't like judging players on like just like the conference. Like, oh, my God, it's the Big 12. Oh, my God, it's the Big 10 or –
Well, I'll tell you to you this way. I mean, University of Cincinnati almost beat Georgia. Should have beat Georgia. If they're kicker, if we convert a third down and they don't kick a 55-yard field goal, we win the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, because like knowing the Cincinnati sports playoff curse, like he made the it was a 50. I think it was a 54-yard field goal. Like knowing the Cincinnati sports curse, he would have made that field goal from 154 yards.
Well, the thing that cracks me up, people get mad. Why didn't Luke just run the ball? If Luke Fickell runs the ball, we get a third down. I was like, are you sure? I mean, that's not necessarily true. If they complete that pass and we get convert to third down, that game's over.
If your aunt had a dick, she'd be your uncle. It's
right. I hate when people
relevant at this point.
Right. I know. I hate when people say that. I'm like, you don't know. They would have definitely converted it. I mean, he hit a 54-yard field goal.
Yeah, he nailed it.
He was a freshman. He was a freshman. So you kind of just gotta tip your cap to him and go, all right, you beat us. It happens. It sucked. But I was ecstatic we didn't get freaking blown out because when we went to the Orange Bowl, we went to the Sugar Bowl, we looked like we didn't deserve to be there. Last year, the Peach Bowl, we deserved to be there.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Like, and I hate talking about this because it's irrelevant now. And the best thing I've ever read was on Why Your Team Sucks. I'll explain it a little bit.
Yeah.
The infamous Steelers playoff game.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
Like, think about, like, the hindsight moments of, like, you shouldn't have left Vontaze Burfict on the field. You shouldn't have let Jeremy Hill run the ball. You should have done both of those things.
If Jeremy Hill doesn't fumble the ball, we win the damn game. That's it. Don't fumble the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Marvin Lewis made the right call with running the ball to give Mike the opportunity to get as close of a field goal as he could.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people forget, we were winning that game. Yeah, AJ Green, I mean, we've been on here trashing, the quarterback that from Alabama.
McCarron.
We're on a trash, but he threw should have been the game winning touchdown pass to AJ Green there.
And the game
that did happen.
Devontae's perfect.
Yeah, and but I just I get so frustrated thinking about that.
Can I give? I literally remember this verbatim. Someone had a very good summation of why people are still pissed off about that.
Yeah.
Everyone still has the – and I hate that we're a Bengals fan podcast, but he's right. Everyone still has the energy to be mad about that game against the Steelers because nothing worth noting has happened to this franchise since then. January 9th, 2016 was the day we finally got the answer to the question, who day? And the answer was, is, and always will be themselves.
That is profound. It sucks.
It sucks to hear.
It really does. Well, the thing is, you can look at the other play. I mean, that's the biggest one because we had the game won.
Yep.
The other playoff games, we were never really in them. That's the hard part. And that ended. It was over. After that, it was finale. It was over. We haven't been to the playoffs since. The team just sucked. Andrew Whitworth left. Sanu left. Marvin Jones left. So all of that piled on even more on the what happened after that playoff game.
Yeah, and it's been losing records ever since then. And again, I got hope for the future. We got Burrow. We got his guy from college, Jamar Chase. We've got a solid line now, provided they're still healthy. We have solid trenches. We have the best safety duo in the NFL.
Who got snubbed? J.C. Bates got completely snubbed by not getting the All-Pro.
Yeah, he's such a stud, and it's insane that he hasn't been a Pro Bowler. But
yeah, he's the next one. He's about to get re-signed this summer, I think.
Oh yeah. Do you think the Bengals retain Jesse Bates?
Hell yeah! I hope absolutely.
So. God, I hope so.
Yeah, I think he's going to get re-signed. I honestly think they're going to re-sign him. And I was talking to Dave Lapham about this on my show, too. Not to keep dropping names, but that's actually who I was having a conversation with.
I've dropped a couple names. It's fine.
But he was saying that he thinks that it'll get done later in the summer, just like Joe Mixon did last year. So he was pretty confident that the Bengals will get Jesse Bates re-signed.
And he's been pretty right about a lot of things, hasn't he? He's been right about
draft picks.
I predicted Mixon. But I think I was saying, like, Lapham's entire life is Cincinnati Bengals.
He's Mr. Bengal. I mean, literally. Yeah. He's been a Bengal since 1974. That's a year before I was born. I'm 46, so. And he's been in the broadcasting booth, I think he said 33 years. Yeah, life is the Bengals.
I was saying I don't like Barry Larkin. I love Lapham.
Yes.
He's fantastic.
I love Lapham.
Come on, Chad.
He reminds me. I grew up listening to Marty and Joe on the radio.
Okay.
And Lapham is the Joe Nuxall in the booth. Yeah, Dan Hoard is the Marty Brown, and Lapham's the Joe Nuxall, because Marty will be calling a home run ball, and Joe's background going, "Get out of here, ball! Get out!" And that's Dave Lapham. Come on! Come on! You got it. There's a sack. There's a pancake. There. Coffin nails. Bam, bam. You know that's. I love that crowd. I love the energy.
Think about with Marty and Joe, like the Pete Rose, 41-92. It's like, get out.
Yeah.
Like, they are fans of the team.
Yes. Yeah. And that's perfect. I mean, and some people don't like it because he's a homer. I love it. If you're broadcasting for my team, hell yeah, I want you to root for our team. Now, Marty Brenneman never came across as a homer, but he was a Reds fan. You know he was always critical of the Reds and players and of his own self too. So he wasn't as much of a homer,
didn't he?
I'm sorry.
He hated the Votto contract, didn't he?
He might have. That doesn't register. But I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like the Votto contract. I mean, my whole thing with the Votto contract, which I was okay with it at the time, but if you're not going to sign anybody else, then why did you sign him? You know, I mean, it kind of reminded me of when we had Ken Griffey Jr. here, who I absolutely love, and Barry Larkin, and that was it. We didn't sign anybody else. You got two players. So, I mean, it never made any sense to me. Well, I was happy they signed him, but then, like I said, they let everybody else go. So, why did you sign him in the first place? That's been my issue with that.
Look at the Chiefs, for example. they signed Patrick Mahomes to a contract that could cancel out the national debt.
Right.
But then they also have Joe Tooney. They also, they like went all out to fix their line after they got destroyed in the Super Bowl.
Well, the thing with that is people keep bringing that up to me. Like, well, you know, the Bengals didn't really go out like the Chiefs did. Okay. The Chiefs needed two players. That's it. They needed two offensive linemen. The rest of their team is fine. The Bengals needed a lot more. So yeah. If the Bengals are in the same situation, then hell yeah, go pay Tooney all that money. Go sign the other guy and or trade for him. Because they traded for what's his face from the Ratbirds?
Stanley.
Yes. But that's all they needed. I mean, that's the thing. They didn't need anything else. So you could spend a lot of money on two players if that's all you need.
Yep. And I think they got him. They got Tooney. They got Stanley. They got rid of, like, their first overall pick from 8 years ago, but
Fisher, yeah, I think he actually said, well, he's coming back from Achilles injury. This shocked me. He signed, I think, a $10 million deal with the Colts, and he still might not be ready for – he might miss the first month and a half of the season, and they're going to pay him $10 million.
Yep.
They better be damn sure that his Achilles is attached.
Oh, yeah. They just don't want to waste – they don't want their – basically, to throw another Reds reference, they don't want a Ryan Madsen.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy. That's a name for the past.
Yep. I don't want to take up too much of your time. So I think we kind of touched on everyone pretty much. Who's – so with Chase, so let's – we didn't really talk about Chase all too much. What do you think Chase brings to the team?
He brings that it factor. He brings
– That's what Burrow brought.
Yes. He takes the pressure – Not that T. Higgins and Boyd can't handle pressure, but he takes the pressure off them. They won't be – who are you going to double team? Yeah. That's the other thing.
Those are three guys who in all honesty, could deserve to be double teamed.
Yeah, and you can't double team all three of them. You might not be able – if they're all spread out and we got a tight end coming out and we got a running back come out, you can't double team anybody.
Yep.
So that's what Chase brings. Chase opens up this offense. And I know we keep talking about the deep ball, but that's what he does.
Yep.
He opens that deep ball up, but that's not all he can do. You know, I mean, you can put – come back, get him to go across the middle. He can do reverses. He can do all kinds of stuff. Chase can do whatever you want him to do.
Yep.
But that deep ball is a huge, huge thing for this team.
The Bengals were lacking. Like, T can do it every now and then. I don't see it with Boyd. I see Boyd as like a slot guy. I see him as a better odd and Tate.
Yes, he's perfect for a slot receiver. Well, I'll put it to you this way. You got Chase, you got Higgins, you got Boyd. They're going to be as good. Actually, I think they'll be better than Chad, TJ, and Chris Henry. What do you think about that?
Oh, boy, that's real tough. Because they also – both of those receiver corps had number one overall picks throwing to them.
Right. But I think that these guys have a shot to be even better. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Like I said, I speak with – I have orange colored sunglasses on a lot. So I'm a little optimistic. Sometimes I'm over-optimistic. But I do really think these guys have a chance to be even better than Chad, TJ, and Chris Henry.
I think the difference is – I think the line back when Chad, TJ, and Chris were there was a little better.
Right.
I see, like, as I see this line, the one they have now is like kind of a band-aid. It's not really a long-term, like, fix to the line. I don't see Riley Reiff being there super long-term. I don't see Spain being there long-term. I think maybe like this possibly opens up the possibility of maybe getting a lineman and another early round lineman next year.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Or if they hit the ball out of the ballpark, they got Deontay Smith and then they got Hill out of Georgia. Those two could pop in at guard and at tackle, and there you go. And you draft some more backups next year. Hopefully that's what happens. But like
the
I said,
the trenches are deep, and I love that.
That's the thing. And the cool thing is, I said this before on this show, that we have lots and lots – we're very deep. And so there's going to be lots and lots of competition. Competition brings out the best in you.
Yep.
And that translates to Sundays. If you're competing against your teammates every day in practice, you're going to compete their ass off with them against the AFC North. And that's what we haven't had the last couple of years.
Yep. You haven't had that. It's going to be a fun team to watch. And like week one, this is the last thing we'll talk about. Schedule.
Yes.
The schedule. Let's see. Week one is the big reunion.
Yep.
Between Burrow, Chase, and
Jefferson.
My fantasy football savior from 2020, Justin Jefferson.
Now, I have a question for you.
Answer.
Jefferson already came out and basically said he was on Colin Cowhead's show. Basically, to me, said that Jackpot Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Cousins.
Oh, easily. Pretty much,
that's the way I took it as.
Yeah. Oh, easily. So what's the question?
The question is he? I think he is. Yeah, I think Joe Burrow is better than Cousins.
Whew. I mean, right now?
Yes, right now. I think
Burrow is a little better. I mean, he basically got Cousins' former lineman. Actually, you know what? Yes. And here's why.
Okay.
Riley Reiff.
All right.
Remember the conversation that they had at at Jeff Ruby's?
Yes, I do now, and I just bring it up. Yep.
Riley Reiff basically said, like, he had a conversation with Joe Burrow, and Riley Reiff was like, I want to block for that guy.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know who the quarterback was before? Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Exactly. I think
Riley Reiff is a little better. Burrow is better than Cousins.
I agree with you. And I honestly think we're going to start the season out 1-0. I mean, to be honest, like I said, I put this out on Twitter last week. I got us going 11-6. Now, I know that's very, very optimistic, but if you look at the games, if Joe Burrow is healthy, which I think he's going to be healthy, 90% of the games, we have the best quarterback in my mind.
Yep. You're saying
except for Green Bay and Kansas City. And Green Bay, who knows, maybe Aaron Dalton will be in Denver, so we can flip-flop that. Who knows? Because they can talk about trading them. But the rest of them, I think we got the better quarterback.
Yeah, every game, Burrow's the better quarterback. Go ahead.
And if your offensive line is fixed and our offense is going to be as good as I think it's going to be, we're going to put 30 points up a game. That now the question is, can all right, I have 25 points a game.
Okay.
That work? 25 okay. Points a game. All right, 25 points a game. The question is, will Armadillo's defense be good enough to hold them under 25 points? I think he has a talent to do it. I just don't know if his schemes can do it.
I don't know. I question our linebacker core. I don't know if it's very deep. Because the only ones I can really think of are like Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson and ADG.
Logan Wilson and Akeem Davis-Gaither.
Yep.
Those two are going to be your two starters, I think. And I'm looking for big years out of them, to be honest. I think so, yeah. Okay. But maybe I'm wrong. But either way, those three I think are good. And I really like Logan Wilson. He got hurt. Sorry?
The Bengals were like ecstatic when Logan Wilson was available.
Yeah, and the funny thing, I never even heard of him. He played at Wyoming. I never heard of him until I checked him out. But the games he played last year.
On the other side of Josh Allen.
Yeah,
He got to be teammates with Josh Allen. I mean, I'm just saying that because it's so fun to say.
Well, I think Logan Wilson's got a shot to really improve this year and be better because the games he did play toward the end of the season before he got hurt, he was making some plays.
Yeah,
and he was starting to figure things out. So that's where I'm Mr. Optimism, but I do think he's going to be a very good linebacker. But I said it in the show, the linebacking core is kind of weak, but you can't fix everything. But they're close.
Yes. All right, so let's look at the schedule. Vikings week one at the Bears week two. Do you think Dalton starts that game?
I don't. I think Fields starting game one for them.
Who knows? Let's see. After that, you got the Steelers week three. Honestly, if I was a betting man, and this could be optimism here, but I see the Bengals finishing ahead of the Steelers in the standings.
I think the Steelers are going to be the worst team in the division, to be honest. I mean,
completely agree.
Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is going to regret coming back this year. I think he should have retired last year. They did, and that this is what kills me too in the draft. Everybody, they drafted a running back. I can't remember his name.
Najee Harris.
Thank you, Najee Harris. And everybody's like, oh, what a great pick. Oh, what a great pick. Their offensive line is terrible.
I cannot
But
wait.
The Bengals get ripped for drafting Ja'Marr Chase. But the Squealers, it's awesome. No, their offensive line is worse than the Bengals.
Yep. It's so they drafted Freiermuth in round two, which – and then they got the guy who showed up in every single mock draft known to man, Kendrick Green, in round three.
Right.
Me and a couple guys in Houdini Nation had a running joke about that. It's like, oh, my God, Kendrick Green, he's here again.
Oh, but, yeah, I mean, and if they do fall, finish last, I'll be stomping on their grave and pouring gasoline on it and celebrating my Houdini ass off.
I love it. I definitely think it's possible. I do think they at least split the season series with the Steelers.
That's what I have them splitting. And unfortunately, I have us both losing both games to the Ratbirds. I mean, they're the most talented team in our division.
Yep.
And we have not beat Lamar Jackson yet. So that's why I got to lose both of them. We got to stop the run.
Look terrible.
Yeah.
And then after that, week four, the number one overall pick battle.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence is Golden Locks and Joe Burrow. That's going to be fun. Week five.
And that's the only primetime game we have. Do you believe that?
As of now, because oftentimes games get flexed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they can flex Monday night games too this year.
Yeah. That watching Ryan Finley stare into Pittsburgh's soul that day was so much fun. Well,
you had that. You had that and Von Bell.
Oh, that was so great.
TikTok smashing Juju. That was awesome.
Yes, it was great. So week five. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers has been the subject of a lot of I don't want to say controversy, but he's been a lot of rumors. Like he doesn't play for the Packers. He's outright like, I don't want to play for the Packers. Do you think the Packer in 2021?
When it first came out, I'm like, there's no way in hell they're trading them. They're stupid. I still really don't think they're going to, but I'm more of okay, there's a possibility of trading them. But the thing is, if you trade a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you're never getting anything remotely close in return. I mean, you're not.
You got the world for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, unless you traded him to Jacksonville and got the number one overall pick and were able to draft Trevor Lawrence, then maybe. I mean, I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence should be the next Aaron Rodgers, but talent-wise, that's about the only way you could somewhat come close to giving enough to the Packers to get Aaron Rodgers. So either way to go to the Packers. See, the Packers screwed themselves when they went and drafted Love last year. It was stupid that they drafted him. That's
not only did they draft Jordan Love, they traded up to draft him.
Yes, that was the stupidest thing. I mean, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, they didn't trade up to get him. He fell to them.
That was, oh, my God. The Packers were thanking their lucky stars. Because to me, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's the best quarterback of the century, but I think he's the most talented.
He, again, is – and I said this about Patrick Mahomes. Nobody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes. Nobody knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers is, or they would have got drafted sooner.
That year, Alex Smith was the first pick.
Yeah.
And he had a fine career. He's not.
Not Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers had the better career. He had put up the better stats, I think. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was clearly the better of the two.
Yeah. So to answer your question, I will still be surprised if he is traded. But I won't be shocked. I'll put it that way. I think there might be a chance because he might put up enough of a fight saying, I don't want to play here anymore. And I'm not showing up, you know. Yeah. So it depends on how much he wants to stick his foot in the ground and say, I'm not going back. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Lions after that, very winnable game.
Oh, that's a dub.
After that, oh boy.
Yeah, that one, like I said, I got to lose it twice to them. Hopefully I'm wrong because I hate the Ratbirds.
Oh, yeah. I'm indifferent to them. I'm indifferent to them more than the Browns and the Steelers to me.
I hate – the Squealers, and I hate the Ratbirds. Growing up as a kid, I hated the Clowns. I hated them. I'm more indifferent toward them than I am the Rappers or the Squealers. Now, if the next 10 years the division comes down to the Bengals and the Clowns, trust me, I'm going to hate the Clowns. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think – I don't know how much I believe in Lamar Jackson long term.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. This I got an argument with a couple guys at work that I think Joe Burrow is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson.
I 100% agree.
And they're like, oh, how's that? He's got this and this. I said, hold on. I said, what's the most important thing a quarterback does? They're like, throw the ball. I'm like, right. What has been Lamar Jackson's problem in the playoffs? He can't throw the ball because they stop the run and stop everything they're doing, and they try to make him beat him by throwing the ball. He could throw it better than they thought he could, but he's still nowhere near as accurate as Joe Burrow is. So that's why, as far as the quarterback position goes, I think Joe Burrow is better right now than Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson's won an NFL MVP. So, I mean, there's nothing, no slight against Lamar Jackson. It's just facts.
Yeah. To me, like, the Ravens have always been one of the three organizations where if they draft a receiver, it's where receivers go to die.
That's why they couldn't get anybody to sign for them. That's another thing I said at work. I was like, that's why no receivers want to go there.
Sign for him.
I'm sorry?
Juju took less money with the Colts. Juju took less money with the Steelers.
Yes, because they didn't want to go play for Baltimore.
In case you're wondering, the other two are the Patriots and the Eagles.
There you go.
Yes. And then after that, the J-E-T-S, Jets, we are going to stomp the shit out of them, we hope.
Yeah, that's another dub.
Browns at home.
I think we're splitting. I got us winning at home and losing on the road to them.
We play the Browns, I think this is going to be a weird two-word sequence to say. We play them week 18.
Yes, exactly. You have to get used to that.
Seeing records of like 11-6 and like making records of like 10-7 or well, 9.
That was the thing. I'm thinking
so weird.
I know. Because you're never going to finish 500. You can't finish 500. You're either be a game above or a game below.
Yes, you can.
You can?
You can tie.
Oh! I was forgetting about – dude, a tie is like kissing your sister. We're not from Kentucky, all right?
I mean, it's possible. The Bengals did it last year in the most
overwhelming
quarter in history.
I hate ties. I wish they'd figure something out.
Oh, it's dumb. Yes. And then after that, Browns – the Raiders after that, we get to say hello to Alex Leatherwood there.
Yep.
The Raiders are – to me, the Raiders and the Cowboys are kind of similar. Well, I'll let you – I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're – I got that as a loss, unfortunately, because I got us beating the Clowns and the Squealers in those 2 weeks. And just go to – not to skip ahead, but the reason I picked that, because some people are on me, I picked that as a loss, and I picked a win against the Chiefs. The last 4 weeks, you got the Broncos, Rappers, Chiefs, Clowns. Those – at first, I had four losses. I'm like, I do not want the Bengals ending the season with four losses. So I had to switch one of them up.
The Broncos.
I think they could beat the Broncos, and I think they can beat the Raiders.
Yes, because I was saying the Raiders and the Cowboys are like kind of similar. Mm-hmm. I think I said this with the Cowboys yesterday. They are the dumbest organization in football, but they can get away with it because they have a ton of money.
Well, you and me were talking about this on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
Everybody bags on Mike Brown for being a bad owner. Jerry Jones is a terrible owner. Yeah. When was the last time he won anything?
Fucking rich.
Right. That's it. He throws money at everything. But it doesn't mean that he gets good players or good coaches or makes good decisions. But everybody loves the Cowboys. They haven't won or been a relevant team since 92, 93, 95. 95 is the last time.
Wasn't for Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been irrelevant. Yeah, because, it's not just Herschel Walker with the Cowboys. It was Herschel Walker when they made that trade because they got, like, fucking Emmitt Smith out of that trade and so many other – like, the core of their team was thanks to Herschel Walker.
Yeah, and that's all Jimmy Johnson. And I think Jimmy Johnson deserves all the credit. And ever since he's left, the Cowboys haven't been crap.
They've made a 500 team.
Yeah. And that's why I don't get why everybody bags on the Bengals. I'm like, look at the Cowboys. They haven't done shit in 30 years.
I mean, I've always been like – everyone says that – I think every Dallas Cowboys player is, like, given, like, 2% more credit than they deserve because they play for, like, a celebrity team.
They play for America's team. Oh, okay, whatever.
It's fine. I was like, when the Bengals played the Cowboys last year, and when I think, I forget who fumbled it, but the Cowboys turned for a touchdown, I was just laughing. I was literally laughing when the Cowboys ran it back for a touchdown. It was just like, this is what it's come to right now.
I think that was Gio, to be honest. I think that's who fumbled it, and then he got benched.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
It's all good. And then to round out the year, Chargers, the Herbert and Burrow battle, 49ers.
Let me go back to the Chargers here. I got a question for you on the Chargers. Answer. I call Justin Herbert Justin Sherbert. Is he as good as people are perceiving him to be? You know, or did he just – all these yards he got, did he get them all throughout the game? Or did he get them in, like, one or two plays, you know, like big chunk plays? And the rest of the game he didn't do crap. What's your opinion on that?
I didn't really watch the Chargers a whole lot last year. But I think Herbert's going to be fine. I definitely think Burrow's going to end up the better of the two.
Definitely.
Because other than Keenan Allen, I mean, Mike Williams is fine, but, like, they don't have a ton of receivers. And Keenan Allen was drafted in 2013.
Yeah.
Like, and he's been bit by the injury bug a lot. He should thank his lucky stars every time Keenan Allen is healthy.
Exactly. I just think he gets too much credit for the big plays and not his overall game. You know, I think he's overhyped. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be good. Yes. I'm not saying he's terrible. Joe Burrow's good. Jackpot Joe's be better. What?
Nothing wows me about Justin Herbert.
Right.
He's fine.
Yeah.
He's got the job done.
He's all right.
But and then we play him week 13, 14, 15,
16. 13. Yeah,
13. We got the 49ers. It's the battle of Trey Lance versus Burrow. I'm a
sucky Niners.
I cannot stand Jimmy Garoppolo.
I can't stand the sucky Niners. That's what I call them. They beat us twice in Super Bowls.
We just need one. We just need one Super Bowl win, and then after that, all this like the playoff game against the Steelers, our hatred of the 49ers. Like yes. I'm sorry for saying this. I'm too young to hate the 49ers.
I'm not.
I know.
I can't stand them, man. I remember Randy Cross going right before the game, right there. That's where my ring's going to go. And I'm a 12-year-old boy going, shut up. No, it's not. And then it did. God.
And then one of our players did coke, and it's like, oh, so it is going there.
Stanley Wilson. Yep. I mean, that's – and people forget about that. If he was a big factor in the 88 team. If he plays, who knows what happens? It could be a whole – if he plays and Cromartie doesn't break his leg, we could win it. We are still – we were 42 seconds away from it, 43 seconds away, something like that.
Was Montana the quarterback for both of them?
Yep, he sure was.
Yep. And then –
can't stand him either.
Oh, yeah. And then Broncos, Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, basically. That's how we're running out the schedule.
Yep.
Do you think – okay, so here's a question. Do you think if the Bengals have a good enough record that the Chiefs-Bengals game gets flexed to primetime?
Oh, definitely. Well, it depends on if the Chiefs have already wrapped up their division. If they've already wrapped up their division and they're not playing any of their starters, then no.
Yep.
You know? So but if it's playoff implications, definitely. They can do that. Same thing with the Ratbirds and the Clowns game. If we're fighting for the division or playoff spots or whatever, those two games could definitely get flexed, I think.
Yep. It'll be fun to watch.
It's going to be a blast. I cannot wait.
Oh, I cannot wait for this year. It's going to be absolute blast.
I'll be in there in the south end zone in section 158 screaming my freaking head off.
You got your season tickies?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I can't wait. Man. Are we going to have a tailgate party? I think we're talking about it.
Hell, just go to Bengal Gym's tailgate. That's where everybody else is going to be at. We're going to have Bengal Gym's.
I might be there. I mean, I'm fully vaxxed up. I'm excited to go to games this year. It's going to be awesome.
Let's roll, man. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
So, dude, Jeff, thanks for coming on. Last thing, do you have any plugs? Any plugs?
Oh, yeah, just check out my show. It's on Monday through Friday every day at 5:30. It's Sports with Strawberry Ice. Like I said, my name is Jeff Trenopole, so people call me the Iceman. Call me whatever you want to call me. I also have the podcast, so if you missed the show, like I said, it's live at 5:30 on my YouTube channel. The podcast is on BeanPod, Spotify, Apple iTunes, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on all my social media platforms, all under Sports with Strawberry Ice. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I'm on TikTok.
Oh, you're on the TikTok train.
I'm an old guy on the TikTok. You can find me at Iceman90.
Have you had a video pop off yet? Gotten like tons of likes or something like that?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm not that cool yet. I've only got like 200 and some people watching or following me. So okay. I'm just an old guy on there.
I was, this is the last thing I'll say. I mean, I was a TikToker for a little bit. I didn't have like a huge following, but I was a TikTok guy for a little bit. I had like a couple videos like really pop off, and it's like, you'll get like, you'll just do like this, 10 new likes, this, 7 new likes, 12 new likes, 14. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. I haven't had, I think the most likes I got, I want to say like 200 is about the most likes I've got on something. I don't even remember what it was I did.
All right. So yeah, so thank you, Jeff, for coming on. Check out Sports with Strawberry Ice every Monday through Friday at 5:30.
Yes, sir.
So at the end of every podcast, we say like "fuck you, Kobe," like the Bengals. Are you a guy who curses a lot or no?
I do in my normal life, but not really on the show. But for you, I will definitely do it.
Yes. So we say "fuck you," whatever. We like the Bengals, so we'll do like "fuck you, Rappers, Clowns, and Squealers." We like the Bengals. Do you want to do that?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
I really have one thing left to say.
What's that?
Fuck you, Clowns, Ratbirds, and Steeler and Squealers. We
fuck yeah.
Love Bengals.
We fuck. Love our fucking Bengals.
Yes.
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.